Begin the current daf and start this erich and daf lamed beis. Begin on the bottom of lamed aleph from the beis, two lines up on the bottom of the amud. The Gemara begins the discussion regarding the previous Mishnah. Previous Mishnah said an interesting halacha, which is that, as we had said previously, that there's a 12-month limit that the seller can buy back the bat erichim, the house in the walled city, from the one that he sold it to. However, as people are wont to do, that they push it off, procrastinate to the last day of the 12 months, and then the buyer would try to hide and avoid the seller so that he wouldn't be able to get the money back to him, so that it would be confirmed that it's the buyer's. So Hill instituted that what the seller could do is he would be able to put the money into one of the chambers in the Azara, and that was like considered that he paid back the buyer, and then he could get back his house, and that not that the buyer could go ahead and avoid him on the last day. Now Amar Rava, he says, mitekanase shel Hill, as he's going to explain. From this institution of Hill, we can infer the following halacha. If a husband says to his wife, Hariza Gitech, this is your divorce document, Amanash Shatitnili Masayim Zuz, on the condition, the stipulation that you give me 200 Zuz, only then will I authorize this to be a get. Now, Venosnoi Midaitoi, if she gives it to him with his consent, with his acceptance, with his willingness, then Magreshas, then she's going to be divorced. But Balkarchai, if she forces him to take the money, then Ein Magreshas, that's not going to qualify for this stipulation that he said that you give me the money, and she's not going to be divorced. How do we know this? So the Gemara continues the top of Lamed Beis and Alf because mid the istrukli lehil lesekune from the fact that Hill had to institute nesina balkarche a forcible giving. Where here we said that he could go ahead and place the monies and like Hill instituted in the halacha of the Mishnah that he can go ahead and put the money even though the person was avoiding him and trying to get away from and not get it. That Hill had to institute having nesina that's considered a giving. We needed his takana for that. Habaalma, the inference is, but in general, nesina balkarcha lav nesina, that a forcible giving is not considered giving. And therefore, that's what Hill had to institute it, but therefore by a get, where he didn't make such a takana, if the wife forces the husband to take, it's not considered that she gave him the money, and therefore it's not going to be activated as a get. To which Maskler, Rav Papa asked on this teaching, Vitim, and some say Ravashi, says, wait, maybe when did Hill have to institute that a forcible giving is considered a giving, which the inference is that it's not if it wasn't instituted. That's only shalei b'fanav. That's only when the person's not even there, like in the situation we described, where the buyer was hiding, he was concealing himself, where there's two flaws over here. First of all, he's not even around. And second of all, it's forcing him to take the money. That's why Hill had to institute that even so, it's considered that he gave the money back. But if the person's here, like the husband and the wife, then maybe even whether he's consenting or whether it's even forceable, have a matana, or the gear says, have a nesina, that is considered giving. How do you know that in the situation you described, if she forced him to take the money, that's not considered giving? She gave him the money. By Hill, he had to institute because not only did he's forcing him to take the money, he's not even there to receive it. So therefore, it's not a proof. It could tell me that those that said that actually Omar Rava, what he said was, mitakanosya shel Hill, from this institution of Hill, you could infer that Hariza Gitech, Amanasha Titli Mesayim Zuzim Nasan Oloi, if the same case, if a husband said, this is your get, on the condition that you give me 200 Zuz, and she gave him the money, that actually, Beimidaiti Beimakarcha Havnasina. This second version says that actually, whether she gives it to him with his consent or even forcibly, it is considered that she gave him the money, and it's considered a get. What's the inference? Because when did Hill have to institute it, which is similar to the previous version's dispute of Rav Papa or Rav Ashi, was Shalei B'fanav. There, it wasn't just Bal Karchai. It was also when the person's not even there. That's what Hill had to institute. Okay, that's two flaws. Oh, then we're going to have to institute it. It's considered giving. Av B'fanav, when the person is there, then there you don't have to make an institution. There, whether the person is agreeing or whether it's even forcible, it's considered giving. Which on this version, Maskav Papa, Vitim and some say Rav Simi Barashi, he asked that no. Vidilma Bain Bifanav Bain Mishle Bifanav, maybe whether if the person is here or not here, Midaiti in Bakar Khalai. That actually it's only gonna be considered giving if it's with the person's consent and not forcible. Now Vihil, this that he instituted only when you have two flaws, not one. Maybe my de istukhli talking what he had to, he instituted. And yeah, maybe if the buyer would be there and he just didn't want to receive it, Hill still would have had to institute because that even though it's forcible, it's considered a giving. But maybe really, even if the person's here, if you force it, it's not considered a giving. This that he instituted only when you have two flaws, because that was actually the circumstance, that not only the person would not want it, he actually would hide, which lived before him. So he instituted that even over there, it's going to be considered giving. But maybe he would have had to even institute, even if the person was there, but did not want to accept it. There was no proof to Rava that it's only with two flaws that's not considered a giving. Maybe even with one flaw, it's actually going to be considered not giving, like in the case of when he says it's going to be you get, on the condition that you give me these $200. Now, continuing on the halacha of the previous Mishnah regarding the Bati Arachayma, the houses of the walled city, says the Mishnah, Koshu lefnimin achayma, whatever is within the walls of the walled city, Harehu kabati arachayma, has the same halachic criterion as the houses of the walled city, which we said you get up to a year and you could redeem it right away. Chutz me'asada says the Tana Kama, except for the fields. The fields that don't have that same halacha as Bati Arachayma. Rami says, no, afasadis, even the fields, it's just like the laws of Bati Arachayma. Now, continues the Mishnah, Bais habanu bichayma. There's a wall, but it's a house that's built into the wall of the city. Rabbi Yehuda says, that house does not have like the halacha of a house that's within a walled city. Whereas Rabbi Shimon says, no, the outer wall of the house is its wall and it's considered part of the walled city with the same laws of Bat Yerachem. Now, Tanya Bar Linda Braisa, explaining this opening halacha of our Mishnah, this machlekes, so bias. It says in the pasuk, Yivikur Chafei, become habayis Hashabir, that the house which is within the city is going to have these laws of Bat Yerachem. Says the first opinion, Ainli Ela Bias, I would only know that these laws apply to the houses of a walled city. Minayin l'rabbis boti badim, how do I know to even include olive presses, boti merchatzalis, or bathhouses, umigdalis, or which are some type of a tower or a cupboard, it's something that's a large structure that's permanent in the ground. Over shevachan, or dovecots, which is where the birds go to live, ubiris, or pits, v'shichan ma'aris, different types of cavities or caves in the ground. How do we know that those sails are also going to have the same aloch as bat erechayma? Tamalamek, that's what it says in the pasuk. Asher b'ir, which is in the city, anything that's in the city. But says the first opinion, Yochosh ha'nimar ba'afasadis, then I would think to include even fields. Tamalamek b'ayis, that's what it says, no, a house. Not anything has to be a house, not a field. Now, those which we included, they're similar to a house in that they're structures. So therefore, they're included in Asher b'ir, but b'ayis excludes a field, that's the Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Meir, he says, as we have his opinion in this machlekes in the Mishnah, says, no. This says b'ayis, so again, ein le'el b'ayis, says a house, I would have thought only a house. Minayin l'rabbis, bati badim, bati merchatzayis, u'migdalis, b'shevachin, u'baris, shichin, ma'aris, all those which Rabbi Yehuda included. V'afilosod, this is Rabbi Meir, how do I know to even include the fields of the walled city that they also have this halach of Ari Chaimam? Tamalem asher b'ir, that says whatever's in the city, including the fields. It says the Gemara, b'vei l'hok sebayis, but it says house. Obviously we're including fields. So that Rav Chizma, Rav Katin, he qualifies and he says you're right. Chulsis u'metzula. Chulsis is a field of pebbles. Metzula is a field of sand, which are both places which are not fit to plant over there. You can't plant where it's a sand or with these pebbles. That's Ikir. But now that was the difference between Remeir and Rabbi Yehuda. Because you're right. An actual field Remeir did not say, because it says bias. Obviously we're excluding a field from having these laws of Arachama. Rather, it's the chulsis and metzula that he's including, which are similar to a bias. Well, how are they similar to a bias? There's no structure there whatsoever. In that they cannot be planted, and they're only fit actually for building, because by the base chulsis, where there's full of pebbles, that's a place where you could take stones for to use for building. And the mitsula, which is full of sand, can be used for sand, which is also used in the structure of building. So therefore he says that that's going to be included in the laws of Arachama. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda held that no, it's like fields, there's no structure here whatsoever. As the Gemara says about Tanya, as we learned in the Braisa, that this is exactly what they're disagreeing about. Chulsis and mitsula, this area full of pebbles or full of sand. Remeir mekebat, he says, has the laws like houses, but not a regular field, specifically these like we just explained. Rabbi Yehuda mekesalti says, even those are considered like fields, that is their machlekes in the Mishnah. Now the Mishnah said, bayis habanu b'chema, different machlekes. A house that's built into the wall of the city. Rabbi Yehuda, he says, in the kebat erchema, it's not considered like a house in the walled city, etc., where there's a machlekes in our Mishnah. So Amar Yechon, he says, v'shnei mekra echad darshu, and actually both opinions expound their sources from the same pasuk, which a pasuk can say for Yeshua, where it says, v'teridim, that Rachav, which was this woman, she had spies from Yeshua, which were spying out Eretz Canaan before they were conquering Eretz Yisrael, and she helped them, and she let them down, these spies, bechevel, with a rope, ba'arach aloin, out of her window, ki beis abir kirchem, because her house was actually in the wall of the city, ubechem yishavis, and her house was actually in the wall, so when they were climbing out of her window, actually climbing out of the wall of the city of Yerushalayim, escaping to get out from being caught as the spies from Yeshua. Now, says the Gemara, Reb Shimon Sabek Kapashti Dekra, he understood this pasuk in its literal understanding, which we see that her house was in the wall, and therefore it's saying, when saying B'chaim Hi Yeshavis, in other words, she was in the walled city. So even though if the house is in the wall, it's considered part of the walled city. But Reb Yehuda Sabek, he held no, B'chaim Hi Yeshavis, says her house was in the wall, V'loi Be'ir Chaim, and not in the city that has the wall. She was in the wall, but not in the city of the wall. And therefore, she does not have the halacha. Such a house would not have halacha, but the rechayma. And therefore, that's the source of the machlekes in the Mishnah. Now, similar vein, the Mishnah continues with this similar machlekes. Actually, not like in the previous Mishnah that there was a house in the wall, but actually there's no wall at all. Rather, ir shagagay se'achay masam, a city that its roofs are its wall. Meaning it wasn't surrounded with a wall, rather it's the perimeter is surrounded with houses that are connected one to the other, and it's surrounding the inside of the city like a wall. So on that, or even if it has a wall, but it wasn't surrounded with a wall from the days of Yishuv Benun when they entered into Eretz Yisrael, either one of these cases, will not have the halacha of a house in a walled city. Rather, we'll have a house like a regular house, which doesn't have these specific laws about a year, about being redeemed. Now, says the Mishnah, these are the houses of the walled cities, are Sholosh Chatzeres. If there's three courtyards, which in each one of the courtyards, Shoshnei Batim, each courtyard has two houses, and there's three of these courtyards, that would be a minimum of what's called a city. And it's Mokef Eschema Mimais Yishuv Benun, and it's surrounded with a wall all the way back from the days of Yishuv Benun, Kugoyin Katsra HaYishana Shal Tzipari, like this old Katsra, which was the name of a small city that was outside of Tzipari, or V'chakra Shal Gush Chalav, or this town Chakra of Gush Chalav, or V'yoytfas HaYishana, the old Yoytfas, or V'gamlo, or V'gedud, V'chadid, V'ayna, V'yushalayim, V'chein Kayetzim, and all of these were walled cities all the way from Yishuv Benun, and they have the specific halachas of Bate Erechema. Talking about Unna Braisa that sources the halachas of a Mishnah, says in the Pasuk that these are Bati Ari Chayma. They have a wall, which tells us Veloy Shur Iger, not a row of roofs, meaning if its roofs is its wall, that's not going to be qualified as Bati Ari Chayma. And when it says that it has a wall sub all around, Prat Latveria, that excludes the city of Tveria in Eretz Yisrael, Sheyama Chaymasa, that on one side the sea is its wall, doesn't have an actual wall. Now, Rabbi Lezer Yisrael, he says, it says in the Pasuk, Asher loy chayma. Loy is spelled Lamed Vav Aleph. Now, Lamed Vav means it has one. Lamed Aleph means it does not have one. What's it that it's being spelled Lamed Vav Aleph? It sounds like it's saying these opposite ideas. So which he says, it's coming to tell us, Ava Pishe Ein Loy Akshar, even though it doesn't have with an Aleph, right now, but Vahayu Loy Koyd Machayin, it had with a Vav, it used to have a wall in the days of Yishuv Benun, so then it's going to be considered a bias from Bat Erechem, even though it doesn't have a wall anymore. Right now, it's going to be confirmed after a year if he doesn't redeem it. Now, the Mishnah continues, says, Ve'eluhin Bat Erechem of Chulu, and these are the houses of a walled city, and it described the actual halacha, which is three courtyards, and each one of the courtyards has two houses, and then went to specify different types of cities that were walled from the days of Yishuv Benun. Now, Tanu Lunda Braisa, that tells us, you have Gamlo, Begalil, and Begalilee, which is a region in Eretz Yisrael, Begedud Be'evayardin, this Gedud, which is a town in Transjordan, V'chadid V'ayin V'yishlaim Behuda, in the area of Eretz so-called Judea. These are the Bat Erechem. Now, says the Gemara, my Kama, what is the Braisa saying? What, is there no other city that was surrounded with a wall in the Galilee besides Gamla and the Transjordan, only Gedud? Why is the Braisa mentioning only these cities? So the Gemara continues to Tamid and says, Amma Bayi, says Hachakam. This is what the Braisa is saying. All the cities in the Galilee, ad Gamla Begalil, until Gamla in the Galil, or ad Gedud Be'evayard, nor till Gedud in Transjordan, or V'chadid V'ayin Yibishlem Behuda in Judea, they were all, they have walls, they were all surrounded with walls from the days of Yishuv Benun. That's what's saying up until then. But beyond that, we don't know if those walls were from the times of Yishuv Benun. Or Ravam, he gives a different interpretation, says, no, the Tana of this Brice is coming to qualify the halacha of our Mishnah. And he was saying, this that we said Gamla in the Mishnah, that we said that Gamla was surrounded with a wall from the days of Yishuv Benun, he says, which Gamla are we talking about? We're talking Gamla Begalil that was in the Galilee. Which Lafuki is coming to exclude that if there is a Gamla de Shah Ratzes, if there's Gamla in the other regions of Eretz Yisrael, specifically Transjordan or Judea, that those Gamlas were not surrounded with walls when days of Yishuv Benun. And so to Gedud Be'eva Yarden, specifically talking about the Gedud that's in Transjordan, Lafuki Gedud, the Shah Ratzes, excluding Gedud from other lands, and so to when we say Chadid and Yerushalayim in Judea, it's coming to exclude cities in the Galilee and Transjordan that have the same name as Chadid and Yerushalayim, that they're not surrounded with walls from the days of Yishuv Benun. Now, whereas Enoch, the other towns that were mentioned in the Mishnah, like Katzra and Yoytfes, which the town of the Brisa does not qualify them, is because Deloy Ika, because there are no other towns that have the same name, the Kavasayu, like them anywhere else. So Leitzrich Leisa, therefore, wasn't necessary for the town of the Brisa to say in which lands they were, because there is no other place that has the same name as those places. But those which have the same names elsewhere, we had to say which ones are we talking about. It's the Gamla in the Galil, let's say, in contrast to the Gamla that's elsewhere. Now the Gemara asked that, so one of those mentioned in our Mishnah that was qualified was that Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is considered Batei Aruchem. It's surrounded with a wall from the days of Yeshua Benun, and it sounds like that after a year it's going to be confirmed as a sale. So the Gemara asked, Yerushalayim Mimichlit Ba? Is it really true that in Yerushalayim that if a house is sold, that after a year it's considered confirmed to the buyers forever? But Vatanya in the Braisa, it says, Aser Devarim Nemar Yerushalayim. There are 10 unique halachas that apply to the city of Yerushalayim, which the Gemara Baba Kama and Perek Merubah Daf Pei Beis Mabeis qualifies, and this is one of the 10, that Ein HaBayis Chalba, the house does not become confirmed to the buyer after the year. Because the reason is, it says in Mikra Chafei, L'Koyna Oysa L'Dereisa. Halacha Abate Rechem is for the one who buys it for his generations. Now, that's only someone that it can be confirmed as a sale. The Tana, the Braisa, holds that Yerushalayim was not subdivided amongst the tribes. So who exactly is acquiring this to the buyer? No one owns it. No one is owning Yerushalayim. You get to use it, but you can't sell it. So it says that it's not confirmed. How does our Mishnah go ahead and say that it is chalat after a year? So Rabbi Yechonai says, no, our Mishnah meant to say ki Yerushalayim, like Yerushalayim, the Mukevas Chaim Meisi Shubanun, that's surrounded with the wolf and Dezib Shubanun. But you're right, but like Yerushalayim, but not really like Yerushalayim, because the Eli Yerushalayim in the Bayis Chalba, because in contrast to Yerushalayim, the house does not become confirmed after a year. But in our Mishnah, we're talking about houses that do become confirmed after a year. So just in comparison, but it wasn't really meaning Yerushalayim itself. Or another approach of Asham, he says, Lavam Rabbi Yisrael, didn't Rabbi Yisrael say Masechtas Makas Avdirim and Aleph that Trey Kaddish Ava, when there was a contradiction, he said, no problem, there's two different places that have the same name of Kaddish. So, Achanami, Trey Yerushalayim Ava, there's two Yerushalayims. You're right. Like in Baba Kam, it's talking about the Yerushalayim Ira Kaddish. In our Mishnah, we're talking about a different Yerushalayim, where, yeah, it's about the Erechim, and they've confirmed after a year. Now, Tanya Linda Braisa, that Rabbi Shmuel B'Yisi, I mean, he said, why did the sages count specifically these cities that are mentioned in our Mishnah? What, as if there's no other walled cities from Yeshua ben Nun? Why did they mention only these? So he says, because when those from the exile, from the diaspora, from after the Churban Bayis Rishon, in the days of Ezra, when they came back up to Eretz Yisrael, Matzu Elu B'Kitchum, they found these cities and they sanctified them. Which the Gemara in Shavuos of Design and Menalf explains that how they sanctified these cities were with two thanksgiving offerings and with singing songs of Hallel, and the court was going and they had these two titles after them with a whole procession. Now, those were the cities that they found and they sanctified them. Avu Rishaynis Batlu, but the near original ones that were walled cities that always had the sanctity of Batei Rechema, they actually were nullified because the Kedushas of Eretz Yisrael did not apply to them, and they actually don't have the halachas anymore of Batei Rechema, of the walled cities, because Misha Batla Kedushas Haaretz, because it became nullified when the sanctity of the land was nullified at the time of the destruction of the first place of Mikdash. Then the Eretz lost its Kedusha. Then when they came back, they sanctified specifically these cities, and yes, not all the other cities that were surrounded with walls from the days of Yeshua Menun, therefore they didn't count all those other cities. Tosh Tikamar explains, Ksava Kedusha Rishonim, that obviously Rabbi Shmuel B'Risi holds that the initial sanctity that Yeshua Benun sanctified Eretz Yisrael, including the Batei Erechem, which has their own distinct sanctity, Kitchula Shaitabali Kitchula Slavi was only sanctified for the time of the first base of Mikdash, but it did not have an eternal sanctification, and therefore it lost it, and therefore only the cities that they sanctified, which are those mentioned in Mishnah, are those which then regained its sanctity of Batei Erechem. Now, but for a minute, the Gemara asks a contradiction from another Braisa, which also quotes Amir B'Shmuel Bar B'Yesi, which seems to contradict the previous Braisa. B'Shmuel Bar B'Yesi says, he says, V'chiyelu b'vad hayu, what do you think, these were the only cities that were walled from the days of Yeshua Benun? But while Kfar Nemed, there's already the Pasuk in Devarim that says, Shishim Ir, there's 60 cities, Kol Chevel Argav, the whole area of Chargav, Kol Eila Arm Betzuris, all of them are fortified cities. So we're talking about Eretz Yisrael, just in one region that there's 60 fortified cities, I mean, that are walled. So why are we saying, Elam Man Chacham Aseilu? So why are the sages in our Mishnah only counting these cities as if they're the Batei Erechaima? Rather, it's because Shekesh Olu B'nei Agoyle, because when those that came up in the days of Ezra from Golas Bavel, Matzu Elu B'Kitchum, they found these cities and they sanctified them. Which the Gemara jumps in and asks, wait a second, Kitchum? I really say like the previous Baisa said these same words, that they sanctified them? But Arminan, but actually, at the end of the statement of this Baisa, the Baisa itself says, D'loy Tzarech Lik D'Shino, that actually that they did not have to sanctify them, because actually the Brisa is going to clearly say that it's not only these cities, but rather any city that you have a tradition that they were walled from the days of Yeshua ben Nun, that actually is sanctified with Batei Rechem, because actually the sanctity was not only for the time being, but it was actually had a future sanctification for eternity also. So the Rebbe explains the Gemara, no, what the Brisa is saying is that they happened to find these cities among them, and they counted them, meaning they confirmed that these were cities that were walled from the days of Yeshua ben Nun. But that's what the Brisa continues and says, but for Loyel Bavad, you're right, those that are mentioned in the Mishnah are not the only ones, but it's just those that they confirm. Whatever you are coming out and you have a tradition in your hands from your fathers, that these are a city that were walled from the days of Yeshua ben Nun, then call mitzvah halacha nahegis ba, then all this halachas that apply to a walled city will apply to it, which has specific halachas in many areas. Because that initial sanctity of Yeshua ben Nun was for its time being, and it was for eternity. And therefore, any walled city that you'll find out, not only these that they counted, are actually going to be counted along. So you have the previous Brisa, Shmuel Bisi says that actually it's only for those cities because the Kedusha was only Shaita. And here you have the same Tana who's saying actually no, it's all cities, even those not mentioned, because it was Kitchel Asalavi. So says the Gemara, Ibaisim, if you want, you could say that actually Trey Tanoim believed Rabbi Shmuel. Right. It's Machlekes Tanoim in the tradition of Rabbi Shmuel. What did he hold? Was it L'Shaita or was it even L'Asalavit? Or Ibaisim, if you want, you could say that actually Chadmanai, one of them, meaning this Brisa that's saying that the sanctity was not just for the time being, but it was actually for all future time, was actually not Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yisi, but it's Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Yisi Amr, who we quoted him before, that just like he said, that even though the city doesn't have the wall anymore, even though it was destroyed, still it retains its original sanctity, meaning that the sanctity is not nullified. So he's going to say the same thing over here, that yeah, the sanctity never gets removed. It's even la'asalavi. The Tanakh learned the Brisa, which recorded before. Blessed Rabbi Yisrael, I mean, he says in the Pasuk, Asher lo'i chayim, it says with a vav and aleph, to tell you, even though it doesn't have the wall anymore, but it had before, it will retain its sanctity, because he holds that the sanctity is forever, and therefore he's the Tana of the second Brisa. So now, once we introduce this machlekes of kitcha rishayna, is it l'shaita or l'asa lavi? So the Gemara explains, my time at mandam a kedusha rishayna kitcha l'shaita v'loy kitcha l'asa lavi. What's the reasoning of the mandam who holds the first brace of Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yisi, that the sanctity was only for the time being of the first brace of Midrash, but it did not have an eternal sanctity? So it says the Gemara, because the pasuk says in Sefer Nechemiah, it says v'yasu that they made, which the Gemara says kol hakol, all the assembly of the Jewish people, hashavim and hashevi, who returned from the captivity of Golas Bavel, sukkos, they made tents, v'yeshuv sukkos, and they sat in the tents. Ki le'asu mimei Yeshua ben Nun kein b'nei Yisrael v'gemer, because they didn't do this sitting in the sukkos from the days of Yeshua ben Nun, how the Jews were doing now v'gemer etc. And therefore v'ti simcha g'dayl ma'ida, was a great joy amongst the Jewish people. And that says the Gemara, what? Efshar ba David v'le'asa sukkos, what, anyone from Yeshua till Ezra? You think David and Melech came along and they didn't make sukkos? Atcha ba Ezra until Ezra came? What does that mean? Ella rather says the Gemara, what it's saying is, makish bi asim b'mei Ezra, they were comparing the coming of the Jewish people in the days of Ezra for the second base of Mikdash, the bi asim b'mei Yeshua to their coming in to Eretz Yisrael in the days of Yeshua ben Nun. Meaning, when it says in the Pasuk, because they never had done something like this from Yeshua up until now, it's not going on the fact that they made sukkos. Rather, what it's saying is that they never did what they did now from the days of Yeshua, which is talking about what they did in Yeshua and only now, which is the sanctification of the land. Ma biyasim mei Yeshua, just like when they came into Eretz Yisrael for the first time in the days of Yeshua ben Nun. Manu shmitna b'yevalis, they started counting the countings of the Shemitah and the Yevul, and they became obligated in Meiser, which was the sanctification of Eretz Yisrael, the Kitcha Arichem, and they sanctified the walled cities. So too, when they came in the days of Ezra, they started counting Shemitah and Yovel, and they sanctified the walled cities, which is this idea that you see that, what do you mean, why they have to sanctify it? Because the original Kedusha did not continue, and therefore they had to do it again. So we see that the original Kedusha was only Shaita, but Loila Asalavi. So to Va'ima, there's another proof of the Pasuk in Devarim. Says Vaviyachash Tamlikecha, that Hashem your God will bring you El Aretz, to the land Asher Yosha B'Secha, that your fathers inherited, V'Yirishta, and you'll inherit it. Which this pasuk is going on when the Jewish people return from exile, as it says previously there in the pasuk, "Vishav Hashem lekecha shavuscha b'chamecha." Hashem will return your captives and will have mercy on you. So makish yirushascha l'rushas habesecha. So we see that it's equating your inheritance, meaning when they're coming back from captivity, like in the days of Ezra, to inheritance of your fathers that when they first came to Eretz Yisrael in the days of Yeshua. My Yerusha Sabisecha, just like the inheritance of your fathers, Bechidish called Dvar Malolo, was renewed with all these things of sanctification of Eretz Yisrael and Shemitah and Yevil and so on. After Yerushascha, Bechidish called Dvar Malolo. So to when you inherited, meaning in days of Ezra, is also going to require these things because the Kedush Roshan was Batla and therefore they have to re-sanctify it now again in days of Ezra. But Ve'idach, says the Gemara, but the other opinion, who holds that, no, the Kedusha was lost at Lavi. So they'll explain to you that actually Kiloi Asu is going like the simple understanding of the Pasuk going on the Sukkahs. Now, but it's not really Sukkahs because all the Jewish people, they performed the mitzvah Sukkah all the while, even before the days of Ezra. But rather the interpretation is that the Bayi, that Ezra requested Rachmi mercy, al Yetzer Davai Dezar, regarding the evil inclination about idolatry. And, as the Gemara says in Sanhedrin of Samach Dalman Alf, that power is given over to him. Ubatli, and he nullified the desire for the desire. We don't have that Yetzer anymore, that inclination to do idolatry. And what the Pasuk is saying is, Va'agin Tzchusa, that the merit of Ezra protected Alai and the Jewish people, Kisuka, like a canopy. Which the Pasuk is coming to say, that this was not done like this, what Ezra did, even in the days of Yeshua ben Nun. Behind it, the Kokabit Kra Elivai the Yeshua, and this that the Torah was particular to point out and single out that they did this in the days of Ezra, and they didn't do this in the days of Yeshua. Why picking out Yeshua ben Nun more than anyone else, and it's talking about him in a derogatory way, is as the Bechol Duch to Ksiv Yeshua, because everywhere else where it talks about Yeshua ben Nun, it mentions his name Yeshua. V'hach Ksiv Yeshua. Here it mentions without the hay. The reason for that is because he should have also beseeched mercy for this thing of nullifying the inclination for idolatry. Because Bishlam and Moshe Rabbeinu Rachmi before him, like Moshe Rabbeinu, when the Jewish people started, Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't make such a request to have a schus of Eretz Yisrael. He didn't have the merit of Eretz Yisrael. He never entered Eretz Yisrael. El Yeshua to have a schus of Eretz Yisrael, but Yeshua ben Nun, who had the merit of Eretz Yisrael, he entered. Amai loy Rabbeinu Rachmi, why did he not beseech mercy? So then we single him out and saying, they didn't do this in the days of Yeshua ben Nun, they did only the days of Ezra, and that is, Ezra is like a sukkah for the Jewish people, but therefore it's no proof for the Man de Amar of from the first pasuk that it brings to show that that they did something now that they didn't do in the days of Yeshua, that they did in the days of Yeshua, which was Kedushas Haaretz. No, they didn't do Kedushas Haaretz. The original Kedusha was Las Lavi. It's saying that they did something that they didn't do in the days of Yeshua, which is Bittul of the Yetzer Avodah Zarah. But the Gemara asks, okay, but that's the first pasuk. But for Ksiv, there's another pasuk that we brought, Asher Yerusha Avesecha Virishta, that which your fathers inherited and you will also inherit, also seems to be comparing that just like they did these things of sanctification of the land, so do they have to do in the days of Ezra? The Rosh Gemara says, no, this opinion would tell you, Hachikamar. What the pasuk is saying is, Kivin the Yerusha Avesecha, once your fathers already inherited the land, they already sanctified it, Yerush Ta'at. So then you will inherit it with that same sanctity, meaning you will not have to go back and sanctify it. Because this opinion holds, Kedush Roshan, the Kitchel Shaita, the Kitchel Asa Lavi. Now, however, the Gemara asks, on the Braisa, Umi Manu Shemitah v'Yevolis, did they really count Shemitah and Yevol in the days of Ezra, like that, like whether they did it, they sanctified, or whether, because the original sanctification was there, but it says that they were counting Shemitah and Yevol like they did in the days of Yeshua ben Nun. But how could that be? Specifically, the question is on Yevil. Hash to Mishagolu, Shevet Reuven, v'Shevet Gad, v'Chazi Shevet Menashe, in the days of Sancheiv, when he conquered part of Eretz Yisrael and he exiled the tribes of Reuven and Gad and half of Shevet Menashe, the halacha was, but Yevil is, that nullified the halacha of Yevil, as we're going to explain next daf, that requires the Jewish people. So Ezra the Chsiv Bey, so regarding, and even though the majority of the Jewish people were there, but not everyone was there, they stopped doing Yevil. So Ezra the Chsiv Bey, so regarding when in the times of Ezra, when he came to Eretz Yisrael after the Golus Bavel, as the Pasuk says in Ezra, Kol HaKol Ke'echad, all the assembly, all the Jewish people as one unit, was only Arba Riboy, 40,000, Alpayim, 2,000, and the Gear says, V'shalash Meis V'shishim, in 360. So you have 42,360. Which is nowhere close to the amount that they had even when only Reuben and Gad and Hav Menashe were missing. Hav Amani, you think then they were counting Yovel and Shemitah? Because the time, like Linda Brysa, which just explains what we mentioned in passing, Mishagalu Shevet Reuben, Shevet Gad, Bechatzi Shevet HaManashe. Once even those few tribes were exiled, but Yovelis, they stopped counting, they stopped the halacha of Yovel. Because the Pasuk says in Yikram, it says that you'll sanctify the 50th year as Yevil, Ukrasim Drar, and you'll call out freedom, Ba'aretz in the land, L'chol Yeshveh, for all its inhabitants, meaning that everyone goes back to ancestral field, the slaves go free. But it says L'chol Yeshveh, which tells us Bezmacha Kol Yeshveh Allah, only if all the inhabitants, all the Jewish people are on Eretz Yisrael. B'loi Bezmacha, Golem Mektasa, and not at a time when some of them went into exile. Now, Yachal Hayu Aleh V'Himu Rav. Now, you would think, okay, if all of the Jewish people are in Eretz Yisrael, but they're intermingled, they're mixed up. We have Sheva Binyamin B'Yehuda, you have the tribe of Binyamin in the area of the land of Yehuda, or V'Sheva Yehuda B'Binyamin, you have the tribe of Yehuda living in the land of Binyamin. You would think, Yehiyevel Naik, okay, then everyone's there, the law of Yehiva should apply. That's what it says, no, for all its inhabitants, Bisman Sheyeshveh Ketikunan, when all its inhabitants are as they're supposed to be, V'Le Bisman Sheyemirav, and not when they're mixed up. So, for sure in the days of Ezra, where there were still many, many Jews, they were still in Bavel, for sure the halacha of Yevil cannot apply. So what are we saying that they were Manu Yevilis B'Shmit in the days of Ezra? So Rav Nachman Yitzchak, he says, you're right, Manu Yevilis L'Kadesh Shmit. They counted Yevil for the purpose of sanctifying the laws of Shemitah, meaning you're right. Most definitely the laws of Yevil did not apply to, let's say the slave should go free because of Yevil, or that the field should go back into the other year. No, that didn't apply because you didn't have the whole of the inhabitants in Eretz Israel. But the laws of Shemitah did apply, which don't have these limitations that the Pasuk says regarding Yevil, and therefore that would cancel monetary debts and would not allow one to plant and to reap. And that's why they had to count the Yevil year, so that you should come to appropriate calculations of Shemitah, which is after seven cycles of 7 years, of which is by 49 years of having seven cycles of Shemitah, the 50th year they would count, meaning they would not count it as the first year of the next Shemitah cycle, because that's the year that's appropriate to be the law of Yevil. And the year after that is when they started the next count of the Shemitah year. Because if they wouldn't count Yevil, then they would be counting that year in the calculation of Shemitah, and then it would be off place, because the way the cycle of Shemitah is supposed to go, you have seven cycles, one off year, which is Yevil, and then you start again. So though the laws of Yevil are not applying, but they counted it for the purpose of getting the right calculation of Shemitah. So the Gemara continues, Tabalam Gimlam and Alf, and asks, wait, Hanichel Rabban, this answer you just gave works well according to Rabbanan that disagree with Rabbi Yehuda. Dami, that they say, Shnas Chamishim Einam Inam Inan. The 50th year, you're right, is not part of the calculations of the Shemitah cycles. Therefore, yeah, like you said, that you have to count the Yevil year just for the purpose of, as a filler, of counting it in the calculations for the Shemitah cycles. But Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Yehuda, Dami Shnas Chamishim, that he says that the 50th year, which is the Yevil year, Oilulakan Ulakan, is actually counted as the Yevil year, and it's also counted as the first year of the next Shemitah cycle. So Lamali. So again, back to the question, what was the utility of counting, quote, Yevil b'Shmitin Sagye? It's enough to count the Shemitah years by themselves, that every 7 years you make a Shemitah, and that continues forever, because there is no year that stops in between, because the Yevil year itself was actually counted as year one of the next Shemitah cycle, and therefore there's no error, and there is no halach of Yevil. So why were they counting days of Ezra, the counting of the 50th year of Yevil? Says the Gemara, you're right. Havadi, most definitely, that Bryce that we quoted before that said that they count the Shemitah and Yevil in days of Ezra is obviously the Likra Yehuda. Can't be Likra Yehuda. Because according to him, there was no purpose of counting Yevil. A, there's no laws of Yevil because the old inhabitants of Eretz Yisrael were not there in Eretz Yisrael in days of Ezra. And additionally, there was no purpose of counting it as a way of knowing the counting of Shemitah, because anyway, Shemitah is always, it goes in continuous cycles of seven, never stops. And therefore, obviously, that Bryce was not Likra Yehuda.